Well, this morning we come to an absolutely brand new year. And I think before we go any further, we at least need to say Happy New Year to one another collectively. So let's just do that. Now, you don't have to look at anyone, but you may want to look at someone. But let's just say it together. Happy New Year. Some of you said that smiling. Some of you said, "Well, I'd like to go back to 2011. Well, let me invite you to take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Psalms, because as you and I walk into a brand new year, so many people think about different things. They think about making decisions. They think about doing certain things. Maybe they're going to do some things to their body that they've not done before, like watching what they eat or going on a diet or maybe beginning to do something they've not done in 15, 20, 30, 40 years, and that's exercise. All sorts of things are said on December the 31st. A lot of those things are canceled by January the 31st. But God has some plans for you and me, and some of those plans have to do with staying young and fruitful. Do you know that God has a deliberate, intentional plan and will for your life? And that plan has to do with so many, many aspects of life spiritually, but God is concerned about every dimension of our life. He's concerned about how you take care of your body, how you take care of your mind. He's concerned about your psychological aspect. He made you, so he's concerned about every single aspect of your life. Now, we hear the world say all sorts of things about how you can stay young, and if you buy this, and if you'll send us your MasterCard number, Visa, Discover, then we'll send you this, and you will be prepaid, and we'll send it once a month, and if you'll take this pill, if you'll use this equipment, if you'll do this or that, then you will be young and you'll stay young. Well, you and I know the truth with a lot of that is it simply does not work. God has some wonderful truths in His Word that He wants to give you and me whenever it comes to staying young and fruitful. If you'll take your Bible and turn to the Psalm chapter 92, you know, sadly there are so many people who say, "Well, you know, I just don't know if all of that works or not." You know, it is amazing how many people just don't really believe the living God when it comes to what He says in His Word about any dimension that He talks about. And the wonderful thing about God is He speaks about every dimension of our life. He's concerned about you being saved and that you going to heaven when you die. That's priority number one. Everything we say pales in comparison to that. So if you're not ready to meet the Lord and you don't have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, you need that first and foremost. But He's concerned about you staying young and fruitful. As a matter of fact, there's a verse of Scripture in the Old Testament before we look at Psalm 92. Moses is getting ready to leave this world. God has told him that his time here on earth is about over. And God is announcing to him that He's going to take him and He's going to bury him and He's going to bring him home. But there's an interesting word in Deuteronomy 34, verse 7. And I want you to listen to this word. In the Living Bible, it says it this way. Moses was 120 years old when he died. Yet listen to the next words. Yet his eyesight was perfect, and he was as strong as a young man. The King James puts it like this. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dimmed, nor his natural force abated. In other words, he hadn't decreased. Here was the man of God, the servant of God. He had walked faithfully with God the years of his life. It now came time for him to leave this world and walk home. And the Bible doesn't say that he was cringing with old age. But the Bible said that there was something about Moses. He was strong. He was as stamina as a young man. There was something about him. And that something was his walk with the living God. And so the Bible says at the age of 120, you know, where he was still the same vim, vigor, and vitality. And, you know, sadly, there are so many people who just think, "Well, you know, I just don't believe it will work in my life." Well, Jesus Himself says, "I have come that you might have life and have it more what? Abundantly." In other words, Jesus did not say that I've come that you could just exist and barely get by and all of that. Jesus said, "I have come that you could have life and that you could have it abundantly." In other words, it's not just to your spiritual dimension. Yes, Jesus is very concerned about your soul, where you're going to spend eternity. After all, that's everything that matters. I think that there's a lot of individuals, they have everything in this world, and after 80, 90 years, they lose it all, and they spend eternity separated from God in a Christless hell. But that's not what God wants for you and me. He wants us to not only have the best, he wants us to have the best for all of eternity. Think about it. He saved you if you're a child of God, and he wants to take you to heaven. And he's going to take you there some of these days. Don't know how old you'll be, but the Bible gives us some directives on how to stay young and fruitful. So in Psalm chapter 92, turn there in your copy of the scripture and listen to what God's word says. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Upon an instrument of 10 string and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, O Lord, hast made me glad through thy works. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knows not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo thine enemies, O Lord, for lo thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eyes also shall see my desire, mine enemies. And mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. Listen to these last verses. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like the cedar of Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. When you read this psalm, there is something radically different between a righteous man and just the average, everyday man or woman. And I want you to keep your Bible there, because I want you to follow along with me, because when the psalmist is talking about this, you need to understand a couple of things about this passage of Scripture. He's talking about a righteous man compared to two trees, a palm tree. Now get the picture. The psalmist is saying a righteous man is compared to that palm tree. It would grow 90 feet plus in height. In other words, it just kept growing and growing, and it was a thing of majesty and a thing of beauty. And then he says, not only is he like the palm tree, but he's like the cedars of Lebanon. Some of the cedars of Lebanon would grow to be 120 feet tall with a circumference of about 40 feet. And what the psalmist is saying is this: there is something special about that man or woman of God. When they get to be old, you know what's happening to them? They're still full of vim, vigor, and vitality. They have not quit. They have not given up, because there are some trademarks about their life, and there are some things that they do all along the way. Now, I want you to listen very carefully this morning, because let me ask you this. Do you want to get old, or do you want to remain fruitful? You see, that's a choice you and I make, not only this first day of the year, but all throughout our life. Do I want to get fruitful? So follow along with me in your outline. If there's anything that you and I need to keep doing, we need to keep thanking. Now, listen to what the psalmist said in that very first verse. Listen to just simply how he put it. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. In the very first verse, here's one of the key ingredients. He says, one of the things I'm going to do, I'm going to keep thanking the living God. Now, let me ask you a question. When it comes to your personal life, how do you live your life whenever it comes to Thanksgiving? If there was ever a man that gave thanks to God, it was King David. You remember King David was the king over Israel. I mean, he was a king in Jerusalem. He was the king that ruled, and there was nobody that was compared to King David. And you read the Psalms, and literally, whenever you read the Psalms, they're filled with thanksgiving. Why? Because there is something marvelous and wonderful that happens in your life when you give thanks. Think about it for a moment. Whenever you give thanks to God, you can't have a sad heart. There's absolutely no way that you can. And so whenever you listen to your, whenever you give thanks, there is something marvelous and magical, marvelous and wonderful that takes place when you give thanks. Now think about it. Many have come to this point in their life, and here's what happens. They decided that life is bad and life is difficult and life is hard. So here's what they've stopped doing. They've stopped thanking the living God. They've stopped thanking Him because, after all, God, look at some of the tragedies that have happened in my life, some of the things that's gone on in my life. And when you give thanks, there is something that happens in your entire body. I don't know about you, but sometimes in my life, here's what I do. I'll say, mind of mine, thank the Lord. Body of mine, thank the Lord. Cells that are within my body, thank the Lord. All you corpuscles and all you little, every part of you that's within me, praise and thank the name of the living Lord. You know what happens? You can't be sad very long whenever you live thanking. And you see, the thing about it is, the reality, God has orchestrated through your life and through my life that wonder that takes place whenever you thank God. Now, let me ask you a question. When was the last time you personally, deliberately, willfully, and intentionally thanked the living God? And you see, you know, He loves us, and He loves us to thank Him. Think about it a minute. Don't you love for somebody to thank you? You know, you got a good Christmas present, or you did something for someone, and they just simply turn around and they say, thank you. You have everything you have because that is good, that is wonderful, because of the Lord God. Amen? You have a mind to think. You have eyes to see. You have ears to hear. You have hands to feel. You can walk and you can stand upright. You have been given the gift of health and strength and vitality. And there is something wonderful that happens when a man or a woman says, you know what? Lord, I'm not asking you for anything right now. I just want to come to you and I just want to say thank you to the Lord God. So one of the realities of a fruitful person, of a healthy person, is a person who continually learns to thank God. And let me tell you why. Have you ever been around somebody who's just lost their thankfulness? Well, I tell you what, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't have no money. You know, life is just so bad and so hard and so terrible and so difficult. I don't know about you, but I don't really care much about staying around a person like that very long. You know why? Because there is something about that life that just discourages and detracts. And some of you live with that and you work around that. You have people that are thankless, and no matter what they're given by God, nothing is ever enough. Think about a moment. If God took His finger off of your life right this moment, every one of us would fall over dead. His hand, His finger, His imprint is over your life. And so it is wise for a person to thank God. The psalmist said, I'm just going to thank God. Thank God I have what I have. Thank God that I am what I am. He said the very first thing, he said it's a good thing. As a matter of fact, whenever the word good, if you look the word good up in that first verse, literally the Bible says it is a powerful, beneficial, it is a blessing to your life and to your body when you thank God. So one of the realities of that person who is young and they're fruitful, they've not lost their thankfulness. I see some people, they get in their 50s and 60s, and you don't hear thankful. Then I see other people who are in their 70s and 80s and 90s, and some of the most wonderful, energetic people I know, they may be in their 80s and their 90s, they have not lost their thank you. Well, second of all, not only keep thanking, but second of all, keep singing. Listen to what the psalmist says. One of the interesting things in verse 1, he says, to sing praises to the name of the Lord God. Another wonderful tribute to a young life and an energetic life and a fruitful life is keep singing. I couldn't help but pin this principle and think about my precious dear mother. When I was a little boy, we'd get in the car in that little old Plymouth Belvedere, and we'd get in that little car, and we wouldn't be gone very long, and we'd be traveling maybe to grandmother's house, or we'd be going to Knoxville or someplace like that. And all of a sudden she'd say, all right, let's sing a song. And I thought to myself, I don't want to sing a song. And she would say to either my dad or to myself, or she'd say, Dad, start us out. Or she'd say to me, Benny, start us out. And if I didn't start us out, or Dad didn't start, she'd start singing anyway. And you know what she'd sing? I'll never forget it. If you would be a true disciple, you've got to do it right. You've got to read that dear old Bible and read it day and night. You've got to go like Paul and Silas, the heathen one to teach. And that ain't all. You've got to practice what you preach. Now, my dad would come in right here. Oh, brother, practice what you preach unto others. Go right out and show the world you believe the things you teach. In the book of life, there's a hand that's right, and there's a page or two for a plain old fight, and three or four pages for a back button. So practice what you preach. There is a page for busybodies and one for the tattlers too. And she go on and on and on. Now think about a moment. You know what you're just doing? Some of you weren't smiling a moment ago. Some of you are laughing. Now you may be laughing at me, but think about it a moment. I get in that car and I have an old back seat, no air conditioning, that Plymouth Belvedere, and we'd be traveling down the road. And all of a sudden I'd forget where we were. Mom was singing, Dad was singing, my sister was singing, I was singing. Hey, we sounded good in that car. You know why? Because there is a wonder and there is power in singing. You know what the psalmist said? Think about it a moment. God has deliberately and intentionally put in the Word of God one complete book devoted to singing. Now you say, now, Pastor, I cannot sing. I make a joyful noise. Do you know that God took that into occasion too? He knew that. Think about it. Did God know that every one of us don't have a wonderful, melodious, musical voice? Sure he does. I never will forget one of our men in church some years ago. He said, I was out on my riding lawnmower, and he said, I was singing to the Lord. And he said, I sounded good. He said, I got to church, and I started singing to the Lord. And he said, three little girls turned around. They looked at me. He said, I learned right quick right then that I cannot sing very good. But God didn't ask you if you're going to perform at Carnegie Hall. He said, make a joyful what? Noise. You heard some of those, haven't you? You've heard some of those joyful noises. Some of you just barely looking up here like, oh. But listen, there is something wonderful and powerful about making a joyful noise. And, you know, it's so significant to God. Think about it. When you sing to the Lord God, the Bible says that it's a fragrant offering to Him. I don't know of people who are singing who are not young in spirit. Now, you say, now, Pastor, I'm old. Listen, how old are you if you didn't know your age? I never will forget asking my precious mother. She went to be with the Lord at the age of 69. I said, Mom, how old are you? Just a few years before. She said, I probably wouldn't be over 60 if I didn't know my age. Listen, you know, but the thing about it is there's some people that have lost their song. Now, I want to ask you a question. Have you lost your song? Here's what I mean. Somebody in the past has hurt you so deeply, so badly, you don't sing anymore. You grew up in a home that Mom was mean and hateful and wicked to you. Your dad was mean and hateful and despiteful. And you don't have a song because you look at the way you was brought up and say, how can I sing out of that home life? Do you ever stop and think that God, when He put you there, He knows how to rescue you too? There's enough people who say, you know what? God rescued me out of a difficult, hellish home life, and I'm so glad that He did. But you see, so many people are still living in past memories. They don't sing anymore. Sometimes, from time to time, as we sing, I look at some of you, and I ask myself this question. I wonder what caused them to lose their song. I wonder what caused them to stop singing. I wonder what caused them. You say, well, I don't have a good voice. But think about this. If you was ushered into the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He said this to you and called you by name, sing me a song, I guarantee you, to the best of your ability, you would try to get something out because you knew you were standing in front of the Messiah, the God of gods, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. You would do something because you'd be in His presence. What's caused you to lose your song? You see, sadly, so many people have unforgiveness issues. Maybe you've had an event in your life and you say, I can't sing because I just can't trust God anymore. You know, people don't say it out loud, but it's amazing how many people don't trust God. After all, I prayed and I asked God to do this and He didn't do what I asked. Over the Christmas holidays, I had the humbling honor and yet difficult time to preside over the funeral of a dear friend of mine, her father and Lana Lowe and her father, and then to go to the funeral where Bobby Joe Eaton's dad had walked on to be with the Lord. We don't like death, and none of us do, but there is nothing that should cause you to lose your song. You see, as I listen and think back to that precious mother that God gave me, I thought, Mom, she could have named a million things in her life. She had diabetes. For a long time, I never knew she couldn't see me. For a long time, I asked her one day, I said, Mom, can you see me? And I'll remember it like it was yesterday. She said, honey, I can make out your image. And just the humbling feeling to know that your mother can't see you anymore. But you know what? She could still sing. If you would be a true disciple, you've got to do it right. She could still sing Joy to the World. She could still sing all the, because nothing caused her to lose her song. And you see, listen, yes, you're going to die someday, but listen, you don't have to age in the process. You can stay young and fruitful, but what are you doing about your song? Not only keep singing, but third, keep remembering. You know, if there's one thing that leads to many Christians lose their vigor, their vitality, their fruitfulness, it's they forget the good blessings of God. You know, the psalmist put it this way. You have done so much for me, O Lord, no wonder I'm glad. Think about it. Lord, you've done so much for me. I can't even begin to start counting how good you are to me. I can't stop being glad. You've given me, and he hadn't forgotten. He kept remembering. Listen, one of the greatest challenges in your life, in my life, is that of forgetting. You know why? Because we just do. Let me tell you how simple we forget and how easy it is to forget. Can someone name the message from last Sunday? Can someone name the message from 2 weeks ago? We forget. Now, I'm not saying that to discourage you, but listen. When our minds begin to think about the good things of God, there is something that happens in our body. You know, we sing a song, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this world become strangely dim in the light of his glorious grace. You know, when we sing the songs of God, one of the things we do whenever we're singing, we're remembering. We're remembering the truth of God. We're remembering what God says in his word. You know, when you think about it, memory plus thinking of God's blessings equals joy and gladness. Now, think about it a moment. Let me show you how it works. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I hope everybody could. If you're saved, you're going to heaven. Amen? You've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? There's nothing you have to do. There's nothing you have to earn to go to heaven. Someday, you're going to get to be with the Lord God. You're going to get to walk on street of gold. You're going to get to enjoy a new city, all because of what God has given you in Jesus Christ. And he reminds you in every page of his word that he's going to be with you. He's going to guide you. He's going to help you. He's going to direct you. And you see, one of the things that happens is when you keep remembering, you know, one song we sing, count your blessings, name them one by one. You know why? When you start counting, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing what happens to your body. Now listen, if you don't sing, if you don't remember, if you don't thank God, you're going to age and you're going to age fast. I know a lot of old Christians that are not over 40 years of age. I visit a lot of people in the hospital. They're not old, they're just aged. They've lost their thank you. They've lost their song. They've lost their remembering. And I think, why are you here? And it don't take long just to listen to them and the poison that comes out of their mouth because they're negative. There's one person that from time to time when I glance at Facebook, I think, oh my goodness, everything I read of this individual, it's negative, it's negative, it's negative. Well, not only keep remembering, but fourth, keep learning. If there's one thing that we overlook in growing old, it's the need to continue to learn. Paul told Timothy this. He said, study to show yourself approved unto God. To that person who stops learning, it's amazing what happens. So many people don't realize God's going to take care of them. So many people live a scared life. So many people live... Here's why, because they've stopped learning. They've stopped realizing. They've stopped allowing themselves to absorb the principles. And here's what happens. The more you read the Word of God, the more you absorb the Word of God, you can't be the same. There is absolutely no way you can be the same. Let me give you an example. Philippians 4:19, you don't have to turn there, but you can if you want to. Philippians 4:19 says, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And my God shall supply. Are you sure you're right? Are you sure? Yes, you are. Now think about it a moment. When I go back and I remember and I relearn that, you know what happens? I don't worry about the problems in life. I don't worry what's going to come down the road. I don't worry what I'm going to face. Because here's what my Father in heaven has told me. I promise you, son, I will provide everything you need in life through Christ Jesus. Everything, Father, everything. A few years ago, and this may not be the best illustration to use, but it works here. From time to time, as the Lord would know that I needed a vehicle, I would think, now, Lord, you know me, you know my bank account. You know what I'm talking about? And on one occasion, the Lord just allowed a man to back into me. It didn't hurt me. I wasn't in the car. But my little old car probably wouldn't have priced for $1,500, but you know what the adjuster adjusted it at? About $4,000, $4,500. With that, bought a car. And after that, you know, another car got old and said, somebody just haphazardly said, well, when are you going to have another wreck? Lo and behold, I'm not lying. I was stopped. Wasn't my fault. My lights did work. I told the fellow behind me that I was stopped. He didn't think I was stopped, so he rear-ended me. And car was probably worth about $1,800. And about another $4,500, I thought, okay, there's another vehicle. And I've said this to the Father different times. I said, now, Father, that's fine. If you want to do that, that's absolutely okay with me. But, you know, there's other ways too. Now, listen, here's the reality. Do you have a Father in heaven? Amen? Why do you worry? Why do you fret? The Bible makes it very clear, and my God shall. In other words, there's no ifs, no ands, no maybes, no buts. He's going to provide everything you need. The more, what happens though, you just need to keep learning. Keep getting into the Word of God. Keep studying. Listen, He's not an impersonal God. He's a very personal God. He's always there, and He promises to do everything He says. And so keep learning. Listen, Paul said it this way, and it's interesting, even medical science now is talking about the aging process and learning. Do you know that medical science is telling you now to keep reading, to keep doing all these things? Why? Protection for dementia, protection from Alzheimer's. But Paul put it this way, and I love the way he put it. He said, though outwardly I'm wasting away, in other words, this body is aging, inwardly I'm being renewed in the inner man. You know why? Because there is something about getting into the Word of God that you get younger and younger. I can tell you this, I'm 53 years of age. But if I didn't know what age I was, I'd probably be about 30. Because there is wonder, there's treasure, there's absolutely amazing what you find in the Word of God. Because here's the reality. You have a God who loves you, you have a God who cares for you, and He says everything you need is right in the book. Not only that, but number four, or number five, keep loving. If there is one thing that affects our lives more than anything else, it's relationships. Only the Lord God knows how many people this past year filed for divorce. Only God knows how many people this last year called it quits. Only God knows how many this past year people separated because they said, well, you know what? I've stopped loving. But I want you to listen to me very carefully. When you live in a world of anger and bitterness and resentment, it absolutely devastates your mind, your body, your soul, and your inner being. You cannot be healthy outwardly, if all those things are raging through your body inwardly. It just can't happen. There are so many individuals that says, well, you know, I just can't love my neighbor because of what they've done to me. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully. I'm going to stop before I say this because I want your attention. Show me one verse in the Bible that tells you to love because other people love you. You see, here's what we've done. We've misquoted Scripture or allowed it to be absorbed in our being. We think, well, now wait just a minute. That person didn't do me good, so I'm not going to love him. The Bible says, real simply, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. See, here, it's real simple. Love is a choice. You say, well, what about all those people that have done unlovely things? Get mad, angry, and go after them. right? No, you feel like it sometimes. But you know what happens? There is something inside of you that when you love them and they've not loved you, you care for them and they've not cared for you, there is something inside of you that says, you know what? I've done what the Father told me to do. I've done what the Lord God told me to do. And you see, loving is not an option. It's a choice. Now, don't you dare ask my wife, who said, you know, has it always been easy to love him? I'd want to say yes, absolutely, every day. But I'm sure that's not been the case. Billy Graham's wife was asked, said, have you ever considered divorce? She said, no, I've never really considered divorce, but I've considered murder many times. And that may be the case with some of us. But listen to me very carefully. When you willfully choose to love another person, here's what you've done. You've said, Lord God, I'm going to do what you say. I'm going to obey your word. Now, let me ask you a serious question. Do you think you can obey God's word and not get paid back? Do you think for one second you can obey one single word of God and him not pay you back? God will never be indebted to any man. He will always pay you back in abundance. And you know what happens? When you love other people and care for other people and kind to other people, there is amazing energy that God gives in your body. I wish I could describe it. I wish I could put a medical term on it. But it is amazing how love energizes your being. It energizes your mind. It energizes your body. It energizes your strength. Why? Because you've obeyed God. Listen, the Bible makes it very clear. When you obey the living God, all these blessings come upon you. He'll bless your body. And you see, God has not created a single person to live in hatred. You know what happens? A lot of people are old and fruitless. Because they have hatred, anger, and hostility. Don't you talk to me about that man. I'll never forgive him. And they'll die before the living God with an anger, hatred, resentment in their heart. Now let me ask you one last question. How do you want to meet the one who created you? When you leave this world, do you want to meet him hating somebody else? Do you want to meet him bitter and angry? Some of you may be angry at people inside your own household. You find yourself taking more and more medication, more and more stuff, more and more drugs, and it's not working. And you're finding your body is failing you, and he gives you the directive. But here's the reality. Now, I want you to listen to me real carefully. You don't have to listen to a single thing I said. But you better get ready to live with the consequences of everything you choose to do. Don't you dare be deceived. God is not mocked. And you know what happens? But you say, Lord, I've got somebody in my house. It's hard to love them. It's hard to be kind to them. You make a decision to do it. You make a choice. And here's what you do. You say, how do you do it? You treat them as though you're doing it to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, your spouse is hard on you. You're kind to them like you're treating them like they're the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, they're a whole lot further. They're not at all like the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't say that. But you're treating them as though you're serving Jesus. It's amazing what happens in your mind, in your body, in your soul, and in your spirit. Are you still young in heart? Are you fruitful? There's so many people who've just sort of gone by the wayside. But here's the reality. There's someday you and I stand before the Lord God, and he'll see either the fruitfulness or the fruitlessness. We make a decision as to what type of one we are. You may be here today, and you're without Jesus Christ. You don't have a relationship with God through Jesus. You don't know what it is to be saved. What a wonderful day to give your heart to Christ. What a wonderful day to give your spirit to the Lord God, to invite Him to come into your heart and be your Lord and Savior. Father, we thank You so much for Your word that guides us to fruitfulness and youth in the inner man. And Father, I thank You. Thank You, Lord God, for Your truth. Father, You love every aspect of our being. You don't just love us to save us. You love us just to love us. You don't love us to get anything out of us because Your nature is to love. You loved us long before we ever existed on this earth. You loved mankind before You ever created the first man, because love is in Your heart. Father, it's just beyond me to comprehend that. Father, I pray for that man, that woman that's here today. They're aging. They're fruitless. Because so many things are taking place in the high tide of their heart. And Father, I pray for them. Pray, Holy Spirit, that they would listen to your holy unction. Holy Spirit, draw, I pray, lives to You this morning. Draw them to You. And Father, we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.